Welcome to the Finance Cafe podcast, the business podcast for women entrepreneurs that breaks through the money taboo and explores what's behind the numbers. Join your hosts, Shannon Peston and Shauna Frederick, every week as they dive into conversations about business and finance with women entrepreneurs and the experts that support them to answer all those questions you have about the numbers, and maybe some you haven't even thought of yet. With their combined experience in business, finance, and accounting, Shannon and Shauna know that financial management is more than just understanding the numbers, but understanding how our unique lived experiences, knowledge, thoughts, and behaviors around money shape the financial decisions we make in our companies. Here on the Finance Cafe podcast, presented by Canada's Women Entrepreneurship Knowledge Hub, we're changing the way we talk about business and finance, empowering women entrepreneurs to see their business in a new light. One conversation at a time. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Finance Cafe podcast. Here at the Finance Cafe, we want to change the way we talk about business and finance and empower women entrepreneurs to see their business in a new light, one story and one number at a time. In this five-tip episode, we're diving into the conversation around strategies that you can implement to find new revenue streams and strategies for your business. Shannon, why did we pick this topic?
Well, I think it's such a great time to take a step back and think about the ways that we make money in our companies. And often we don't really think about new revenue streams or new business models. So now is a perfect time to think about this as we're going into a new year, really assess our customer base. But why this topic is so important is for a number of reasons. One, identifying new revenue streams can generate more income in your company. And so if you're looking to increase those sales, this is a great way to do it. As well, diversifying your revenue streams can actually help you protect your business from being reliant upon a single source of income. This is certainly something that we learned during the pandemic, where we saw people changing their business models, changing the one way that they were potentially looking at generating revenue. It also helps us stay current because we're staying on top of what is happening in our industry or around us. So it's really the importance of understanding how changes in our industry might be affecting the business, might even be changing some customer trends. So a great way to look at how understanding the current environment is going to help generate more income for us. And also, when we find and create new revenue streams, we can be more confident in the future growth of our business, because obviously we have more streams to think about in terms of driving that top line revenue. But before we get into, you know, all of our tips around this, let's start with, what information do we need to know or do we need to consider before we even start to dive into those tips, Shauna?
Great question, Shannon. The first place that we can all start as entrepreneurs is by looking at our income statement, our profit and loss statement. This statement is going to show you your current revenue. How are you generating your current sales? Grab that income statement and dive a little deeper in there. Where are you making your money? What products or services are you selling? You know, how is your company making its money? And dive a little bit deeper and think, if I'm selling this particular product, so say I'm in the massage business and I'm selling massages to my clients, perhaps I can also start selling oils and lotions to my clients as a little add-on. So start there, grab that income statement. And then it's looking at, what are other companies similar to yours doing? Check out social media. Have a conversation with some of the people in your industry. Conversations can go a long way in terms of, you know what, maybe you can try this. Because the more information we can share together, the more knowledge we have. And with the more knowledge we have, we know that knowledge is power. So Shannon, anything that you wanted to add with respect to what to consider before we get into our five tips?
Well, I think one thing to consider too is, if you are a business that already has multiple revenue streams, this is also a really good opportunity for you to think about, are all of those revenue streams profitable? Do you have certain products or certain services that just are not generating your revenue? So, Shauna, as the accountant, I know that you often talk about the importance of, on our income statement, again, as you mentioned, that's where we look at all of our revenues, but the importance of being able to put each of those different revenue streams on their own revenue lines. And maybe you want to comment just a little bit further on where I'm going with that.
I love that you've brought this up, Shannon, because although we want to talk about how to generate new revenue streams, it's also important to make sure that we are earning a profit on our current revenue streams. So going back to, say, a marketing agency, if you're selling website services, as an example, and marketing web design, you want to make sure that both of those are shown on your income statement on a separate line, because this will tell you immediately how much revenue you're earning, and you can then correlate the cost. So how much is it costing you to generate that revenue? Again, the importance of, and we'll talk about technology as a little teaser in a bit, but having the information from your income statement readily available to you so you know if each of your product lines is generating a profit for you, because if it's not generating a profit, you need to look at, do I need to change it or do I need to ditch it?
Great, great point. So let's look at the different ways that we can increase revenue. And again, we'll hammer at this point home, but the revenue we're going to see on our income statement, because the income statement is what shows how we're generating sales, which is also another word for revenue, which is also another word for income. So if our accounting language isn't confusing enough, let's just set the stage to say that we might call revenue different things. You might call it sales, you might call it income, but revenue, income, and sales, all the same thing. Shauna, why don't we get into the first tip?
Thanks, Shannon. So the first tip that we want to share with you is you're going to want to explore your existing customer base. We've talked about it on social media. We talk about it at the Finance Cafe. It costs 5 times more to acquire a new customer than it does to keep a current customer. So what does that mean? That increased cost by finding a new customer is a direct hit to your bottom line. And it's a reduction in your profits. So it's costing more to generate that new customer. It's going to directly hit your bottom line, meaning less dollars in your pocket. So look at finding ways to re-engage with your current customers. Or upselling is also a great place to start. Going back to that massage studio, looking at what additional products or services can you add on to your current customers. Go back to your customers' pain points. If you can identify more significant problems that your customers are facing, you can uncover potential opportunities to upsell them in new ways. This is where talking to your customers and staying connected to them is so vital, right? We all know how we feel when the people that we're buying our products or service from really get to know us. They're talking to us. They're engaging with us. So how you like to be treated as a customer, make sure that you're treating your customers the same way. Have those conversations. Ask them what sort of products or services might be missing from your store or your services. A great place to look is your point of sale system. If you're in the retail business, you're using something like Vend or Shopify, look to the reports. What products or services are your customers currently focused on? Are customers potentially providing feedback, maybe 4 or 5 1-star ratings on any products or services that you're selling? Again, engaging those reports to then engage with your current customers. Having those and building those relationships will allow you not only to keep those customers, but potentially increase the products or services that they're purchasing. We all know what happened during the pandemic. The in-store purchases, in-person services stopped. A lot of companies had to start selling products and services online. If you haven't generated online websites, perhaps now is the time to start. And if you're only selling online, is now the time to potentially look at a retail space, right? Retail space isn't for everyone, but maybe now is the time just to dig a little bit deeper. Again, having those conversations with others in your industry to look at, is now the time to get into a retail space? Again, ability to increase your customer base because you're no longer only selling online and generating those new revenue streams. Shannon, anything else when we're thinking about our existing customer base?
No, I think you've hit on all the really important points, but I just want to hammer back again that point that it is so expensive for us to try and acquire new customers. And so, you know, really asking yourself, is there more I could be doing for this client? So I love the fact that you really focused on engaging with our customers, talking to them, you know, and saying what other products or what other services might you want to see from us as well. So using your customers as research is an incredibly powerful tool. So I really love the focus on the customer and understanding what their true pain point is, and also understanding what's happening around them. Is their pain point changing? You know, just making sure that you're still relevant in the market. So great overview on that tip, Shauna. Now I know you got a second tip lined up for us.
So our second tip would be to look at creating new products or services. Start again, going back and look at your existing offerings. Look at your point of sale system, your income statement. What are you currently selling? And look at potential extensions of those products or services. For example, a service-based business such as a marketing agency can create a more affordable product version of their services for smaller businesses. That could be offering tiered levels of pricing, offering smaller service packages for businesses that still need some support, but may not be able to afford, you know, one of your bigger packages. So look at, are there piecemeal products or services that you can add on to generate that additional income from a smaller sized business? Going back to our massage company, can you do monthly packages or offer complimentary services? Can you add on services like chiropractic, Reiki, yoga, anything else? Again, going back to, can you add on the sale of massage oils, lotions, candles, all of these items that your clients may potentially, as they come out of their massage, they're nice and relaxed, and you can add on an additional service for them that they can take that relaxation home with them. Can you sell your knowledge online? Again, going back to the pandemic, so many companies had to look to doing online services. So can you teach yoga online? Can you teach some self-massage online services at home? All of these items that you're thinking, I have the knowledge, how can I share this with my customers? Looking to products, complimentary products. We all know that when we're purchasing items online, we often get a, you might also like this item, or customers who purchase this item also purchase this item. So again, look to your point of sale system. This system will allow you to generate these types of additional add-ons for your customers as they're checking out in their cart to help you increase your revenues. Shannon, anything else to add on the new products or services?
Again, I think just such a great overview. But of course, as we're thinking about these new revenue streams, I'll sort of plant a seed here. But it's also really important, again, where the income statement is going to come in play here is also, what is it going to cost you to bring some of these new products or services to life? So you'll really want to make sure that you're staying connected to your financial professionals or really studying what's happening in the company to make sure that you can afford to do some of these. But we'll talk about that probably a little bit later as well.
Great point, Shannon. So now I know you have a few tips that you'd like to share.
I think one that really stood out to me, and this is a theme that keeps coming up through different guests that we've had on our podcasts, but entering into a new market. And I'm speaking more specifically here about exporting. And we had such a great conversation with Jennifer Cook of EDC Export Development Canada. Jen oversees the diverse markets over at EDC and has such a passion for advancing women entrepreneurs. But she really helped us break down a lot of the myths that exists around exporting. So for example, packaging in a box to be considered an exporter, services can be exported, knowledge can be exported. But what Jen really focused on is that companies that export tend to be larger companies, they grow faster, and they also tend to be more innovative than those who don't export. So if you're looking to understand, is exporting right for me? Go back to that episode in season two, look for Jennifer Cook, who gives us just some great tips on exporting and debunking some of those myths. So the other thing that you can do is you can go to the Export Development Canada website. They've been helping Canadians export since 1944. So what they do is they really help Canadian companies respond to international business opportunities. And not only do they help get you prepared, but they can also look at some of the financial products that you're going to need to get into these different markets, as well as providing some of the insurance that you need to think about as you're collecting from customers in other countries. So a really good opportunity to understand about exporting would be to just start looking at their website. It made me go deeper into some of the research about who's doing what in this exporting space. And a couple of other programs came to mind, but there's a Trade Accelerator program as well. And the Trade Accelerator program, it's a 4-session program, which was designed to accelerate the strategic development of our businesses so that it better prepares business owners for expansion into international markets. So in that program, you'll also get things like customized face-to-face coaching and advice and helping you navigate some of the supports around the complexities of the global trade ecosystem. So just even getting that familiarity with international best practices. And also what's great about it is they will help you develop and execute an export plan. And Shauna, you and I often talk about the reason that some of our goals don't come to fruition is because we don't have the plan. We might not have the networks. So there are resources that are out there. And I think that we have to start looking at, you know, the world, especially through e-commerce and especially through, you know, coming to where, you know, borders are really coming down in trade and looking at where Canada has trade agreements. There's a lot of opportunities, particularly for women entrepreneurs to start going into some of those other markets. Which takes me to the next resource, which is looking at maybe it's participating in a trade mission right for you. The Trade Commissioner Services organizes focused business delegations and events every year. And I do know that they partner with the Women's Enterprise Organizations of Canada as an example to help find these women entrepreneurs who might be interested in going overseas or out into different markets. But these business delegations really allow Canadian women-owned and women-led businesses to explore international opportunities, access supplier diversity opportunities, and gain really important market knowledge. One thing that I think is interesting is that we see a lot of newcomers to Canada and a lot of women who are immigrating, who are starting their businesses. Exporting is a really great avenue for them to get into the markets where they might have been coming from because they understand the culture, they might have the networks. So just some interesting things to be thinking about. The other group that I want to point out, and we recently had her on the podcast, is Stephanie Fontaine from We Connect International. Now, this is a global network that connects women-owned businesses to qualified buyers around the world. So this is a membership-based organization. But go back, she's in season 2 of the Finance Cafe podcast. And Stephanie talked about the importance of being connected to global supply chains. So often, you know, we might have a great product or a great service, but we don't have access to the broader market. We don't know who's buying. And this is where WeConnect does such a great job because they have an international member-based organization, but they have the buyers at a global level. And we'll make sure that we put all these different organizations inside the show notes. But finally, don't be scared to talk to your banker as well, because they're going to also play a really important role in helping you get export ready. Not only do they have the professional networks, but they can also really talk you through some of those different financing options. So I mentioned EDC certainly has some financing and some insurance products, but they work very closely with financial institutions across the country that will help you get into new markets. So that was a big mouthful, but I just think it's so important to think about entering new markets as part of your growth and part of your revenue growth strategy. But Shauna, is there anything that you wanted to add that I didn't cover in that section?
Shannon, great information for our listeners. And I think a lot of people are probably thinking, this is great, but how can I finance this endeavor? So one of our podcasts last season, season 2, was with Pocketed. Co-founders Brianna and Aria are working to make sure that all entrepreneurs have access to funding and grant opportunities. So check out that podcast, check out their website, because there are a number of grant opportunities for women entrepreneurs, for all entrepreneurs, in order to gain access to additional markets with respect to exporting. So great tip, Shannon. Love those options.
And I just love how many guests that we have had who are, you know, when I think back on the last 3 years of our podcast, just how much resources and how much knowledge we have sitting in our archives, like sitting in that vault. But I'm really excited to be able to now refer people back to our former podcast because there's so much knowledge still sitting there.
Love it. And now, Shannon, you've talked about exporting. How about what's our fourth tip for our listeners today?
This episode is resonating with you and inspiring you to dive deeper into your own business financial journey. Check out our online learning options on our website at thefinancecafe.ca to learn more about our transformational programming. Plus, we're giving our valued listeners an exclusive 10% savings when you use the code PODCAST10 at checkout. At The Finance Cafe, we want you to feel empowered by numbers and the stories that they create. That's why we've created a business financial learning platform that will help you see you and your business in a new light, one number and one story at a time. You started your business to make a difference. We did too.
Well, our fourth tip, we want to focus on the importance of creating strategic partnerships. And, you know, we know how valuable great partnerships can be. We've seen it in a lot of companies who have been strategically focused on partnering with like-minded companies. And strategic partnerships, this is really about leveraging each other's customer base and building a competitive advantage as a bigger entity. So partnerships, they are becoming more important because we all know that we can't be all things to all people. But as we're looking to be more holistic, I think, in our thinking as companies, partnerships are really that glue that are going to allow us to do that. But when we partner with companies that offer complementary products or services, it's a great way for us to be able to increase our own sales, drive new revenue streams, find more customers. And ultimately, that's the biggest goal in this, but also being able to capture opportunities that you might not have been exposed to otherwise. The partnering company might have a different database, a different network, a different wealth of resources that you can now tap into. So what do those strategic partnerships look like? Well, there's several that you can engage in, but let's look at some of the more commonly seen partnership strategies. The first one is referrals. We all know the importance of passing on referrals, but referrals, we see this, like real estate agents do this incredibly well, right, Sean? I mean, they've got their team of mortgage brokers, of lawyers, of home inspectors, and everyone's getting a little cut of that pie, for sure they are. So referrals are a great way to say, refer customers to me. I'm going to share some of that profit with you so you can share some of that revenue with potential partners. So that's one strategy that you can take. But there's also opportunities to white label products. Now, we see, especially with technology changing as fast as it is, we're seeing a lot more white labeling in the tech space. But this is where you sell the product of another company, but the product is actually sold, marketed, branded under your own company. So generally what happens here is that you're paying this partner company for all the items that are being sold. You're paying a commission on the items that you sell under this white label. So what does that look like? Well, let's pretend that I got wine on the brain. So let's go with a wine bar. Let's just say that you operate a wine bar and you want to be able to provide your own wine label. You know, you want to be able to provide something that's under Shannon's wine bar, but Shannon doesn't have the resources. I don't have the financial means. I don't have the manufacturing capabilities or the packaging capabilities. So it makes it very unattainable or totally uneconomical for me to go and try and take this strategy on my own. So by partnering, I can go to someone who is producing wine, buy a whole bunch under a wholesale agreement, and then now I'm able to package that wine as Shannon's wine, and then I would give a commission or sales to the wholesaler. So that's another way of doing it. Another strategy that you can engage in is co-branding. So this is where you can collaborate with another company. So you're creating, in essence, this unified alliance to sell a product or a service together. And this is a great option for each of the companies, so each separate brand, to leverage the other company's audience and their customer base. And Shauna, I know you have a great example here, so I'm going to give it over to you.
Well, Shannon, you have wine on the brain and I apparently have beer on the brain. So the craft beer industry in Canada has done this successfully, so successfully in my opinion. You have craft beer companies from coast to coast. So I know, for example, there's a craft beer company in Halifax that has collaborated with a craft beer company in Calgary, Alberta, and they have co-branded a beer together. So you now have that alliance across Canada that you're generating awareness for each other's product and really just doing it so successfully well. And again, the craft beer industry is so great at sharing knowledge and resources. So co-branding, excellent opportunity. And I know that any craft beer company in Canada would be happy to share resources and networks and just how they're successfully co-branding with one another.
Yeah, I love it. But another partnership angle could be to look at where can you co-share things like office space or retail space. So not only are you going to benefit from reducing some of those overhead costs of keeping the lights on, but you could also bring in new customers. And I can think about, I'll say like the Hudson Bay, for example, recently brought in a whole Indigenous market with great opportunity for different Indigenous entrepreneurs to be able to showcase their products, or we're seeing market collectives that are bringing all these entrepreneurs together. So that is also a different type of partnership that you might be able to look at that is going to open up some of those new revenue streams, but equally important, helping you to reduce some of those costs. Sean, anything else that you wanted to add there?
Yeah, I love the idea of co-sharing space because not only does it bring in the additional customers, the opportunities to expose your products to new customers, but it also creates networking opportunities, right? And the more we can network with one another, the more we can learn from one another. We'll say it time and time again, knowledge is power, right? So those abilities. So I love those strategic partnerships that you've identified there.
So now that we've looked at the strategic partnerships as a strategy, let's talk about the importance of technology. And I will be one to expose my own vulnerability here. This is an area that I am not great, Shauna. I know I certainly rely on you. This is where our partnership is really, really strong here because you certainly make up for a gap that I have. But let's talk about the importance of technology, because the reality is there's a lot of us that aren't comfortable with changing, how fast technology changes, how quickly it forces us to look at our business models. So you're the expert here on our team on this, and I'd love you to talk about how to leverage technology to grow those revenues.
Yeah, Shannon. And this is something that the pandemic really hammered home. And I know of a company in Calgary that pre-pandemic, they were working on getting their website up and getting everything online. The pandemic hit and they had every product, every item online in one weekend, right? So it's that ability to really shift and say, we need to be able to sell our products online. And they were able to successfully do that in one weekend. And it sometimes takes, you know, a little bit of an emergency, a dire straits to do that. But I think it's realizing the importance of having all of those items online. Even companies like gyms, we know that the gym industry was another industry that was hit hard, devastated by the pandemic. But another company in Calgary, Emily and her team at Crush Camp, were able to shift everything online, had, you know, 4 or 5 workouts every day online to keep people moving, right? And those, unfortunately, that couldn't adapt to the technology during the pandemic really got themselves into trouble because revenues completely stopped. Looking back on the downfall of Blockbuster and Sears. Now, for those of us in our audience that may not know Blockbuster, this was a video store where you would go to the store, pick up your VHS tape, your DVD at the time, take it home, and then take it back. Sears, I think we've all heard of Sears, the big store that you could really buy anything in. Sears was really had the opportunity to be Amazon. Unfortunately, these two powerhouse companies failed to understand the rise of technology and how it could benefit their business. And failure to innovate was a significant component in their downfall. So let's take the lessons. There's a number of books written on both of these companies on their downfall.
I think what's interesting about what you've just pointed out there, Shauna, particularly about Blockbuster, but this is where we saw Netflix come in and absolutely, you know, take over. That's what took over from Blockbuster. So when you talk about that failure, we have to really be mindful of those competitive environments, right? Because we saw Netflix coming up, and wow, did they ever change that whole industry?
Oh, so true. And I think a lot of reasons why these companies fail to innovate is they're missing data. They're missing the data to make informed business decisions, or they're getting bad data, meaning that we're faced with unreliable information and we're not able to make those good decisions. So implementing simple technology, the number one technology that I recommend every entrepreneur to implement, a simple accounting software. This can automate and support you, providing you with up-to-date financial information to help you make your informed business decisions. We've talked a lot about the automation of accounting software. It can be as low cost as $10 a month, so it's not a big expense. But the time that you will save by automating your accounting entries and the information that you'll get will prove to be a cost saver at the end.
And when we talk about accounting software, give us a couple of examples of accounting software that you're thinking about.
You bet, Shannon. So QuickBooks, you can get a desktop version or an online version. there's Xero, there's FreshBooks. You know, those are just some off the top of mind. But again, talk to others in your industry, because it's important that you're implementing a software that works for you and your needs. So talk to others in your industry, talk to bookkeepers, talk to your accountant. What software would they recommend specifically for you and your business needs?
And also, I mean, I want to just go back really quickly. At the very beginning of this, we said pull out that income statement. Very difficult to do if you don't have an accounting software.
Right. Very difficult to do if you're using the shoebox method that we talk about, where everything goes into a shoebox and it gets handed off to your accountant at the end of the year. So accounting software can make your life so much easier. The other potential downfall that some businesses are working with are legacy systems that don't integrate well, or that customers find archaic and frustrating to use. How many times have you been on a website that you're finding it clunky, you can't check out, you can't do something, and you drop the order? And sometimes it's even taking a day or, you know, just an hour. Walk through your own website. How does it feel to you? Better yet, have a friend or family member that's never been on your website before, walk through it. Get them to provide you with some feedback. Because again, if your customers are leaving items in their cart, that's no revenue to you. So again, leveraging that technology. So let's think about some questions that we can ask ourselves. You know, how might new technologies advance your business and the needs of your customer? So again, going back to your website, is the checkout process easy? Can they easily identify your products or services? Are all of your products or services online? If you're in the retail space and you have inventory, if a customer goes to purchase one of your products and it turns out that you're out of that inventory, it's not going to reflect very, very good on your overall service. So making sure that your inventory as well is up to date in your system. Talking to your competitors. Again, we look at competitors as, we might not have conversations with them, but collaboration, again, even with those in your industry, how are they leveraging technology? What are they using? How can you potentially benefit from that same technology? What data might you have that you're not leveraging to its fullest potential? Email addresses are likely the first thing that you ask your customers for. What are you doing with that data? Is now the time to start sending newsletters to engage with customers? We talked about at the top, it costs 5 times more to generate new customers. Maybe just engaging with your customers, and it doesn't have to be a sell. It could just be like, here's what's new at the store. Right? Just engaging again, making sure that you're front of mind when they're thinking about the product or service that you're selling. Another item that we can look at is artificial intelligence, AI. What can it tell me about my customers' behaviors? Again, looking to your point of sale system. There is so much data inside that point of sale system, whether it be Vend, Shopify, Lightspeed. What information can you leverage about your customers' buying habits? What are they potentially leaving in their carts? What are they looking at the most? Where are they potentially skimming over? You know, all of these tools can give you great information on products or services that maybe need to be, you know, discontinued, and other items that maybe need to be ramped up a little bit. So what key questions are you unable to get good answers to right now about your customers and their needs? If you ask yourself, if I knew this, I could do what? Right? Thinking about all of these items, what don't you know that you want to know, and what technology can you implement to get that answer?
Wow, so much. And I, you know, I'm kind of chuckling through this because, of course, there's tidbits in this for us as well as we're thinking about our own business and, you know, leveraging technology and using our own email addresses. So I think it's, you know, it's fair to say that every business owner, we all have these questions, right? So this is just a great nudge, I think, for not just our listeners, Shauna, but I'll say even for us as well. So let's recap those 5 tips. Tip number one, looking at upselling, explore the existing customer base and see what opportunities are there for me to re-engage with these clients, get them to upsell, cross-sell, whatever that looks like. Tip number two is about creating new products or services. So go back and look at your existing offerings. Are there opportunities to create complementary products, or is it time to pull some of those products or services that aren't profitable in the company? 3, entering into a new market through exporting. We've given so many resources, particularly in this section, that you can follow up with. So go back and listen to those previous podcasts. Take a look at the show notes for some of the website links to the organizations we talked about. 4, create strategic partnerships and leverage each other's customer base to build that competitive advantage. And finally, leverage technology to grow your revenue streams. Shauna, we covered so much today, and I am grateful, and I feel like I don't even know what more we can add to this conversation. So I'm going to ask you if there's any famous last words or any last words you want to share with our listeners before we sign off.
You know, Shannon, I would encourage our listeners to follow us on social media and add your own tips for how to leverage new revenue streams in your business. Again, that access to knowledge, knowledge is power. So share the information, share your wins, and wishing everyone a wonderful rest of your week.
Thank you for listening to the Finance Cafe podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know by leaving a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. And to ensure you never miss a new episode, make sure you subscribe to the show. If you'd like to stay connected with us, you can find us on social at The Finance Cafe Official or on our website at thefinancecafe.ca. See you again next week for another episode of The Finance Cafe Podcast.